is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Last week, we lost one of the great actors of the 20th century, Sidney Poitier. Poitier, though born in Miami, was raised in the Bahamas, making his way to New York City as a teenager, where he eventually would begin his career acting on stage. His illustrious film career began in the 50s when offered a role in No Way Out. In the subsequent decade, he broke down barriers and became one of the biggest actors in Hollywood, all while continually fighting for racial equality inside and outside of the entertainment world. Sidney Poitier altered Hollywood forever when he won the 1964 Academy Award for Best Actor, the first black performer ever, for his role in Lilies of the Field. But we should also remember that he was just a great actor, period. Think The Defiant Ones or the classic In the Heat of the Night. Let's listen to an iconic scene of Poitier as Virgil Chibs in 1967's In the Heat of the Night. And disclosure, big disclosure, everybody. We want to give you the heads up that this scene includes the use of the N-word. But we thought it was important to leave it in, obviously for creative reasons, as also because of part of why this scene became so memorable and important to both film history and the history of how racism is discussed in our country. This clip does contain the racial epithet, the N-word.
The Verge here, Chief, he thinks that Harvey's innocent.
Well, I'll be damned.
Could I talk to you about it in private?
No, you can't talk to me about it in private, Chief, because I got Cobert's wallet right here in my hand. We took it from Harvey Overs. You don't think he gave it to him, do you?
I don't know, but Overs could have come along after the crime, found it, picked it up. I don't know.
That's what the boy said he did.
Well, I'm sorry, man, but I said different.
Well, when I examined the deceased, it was obvious that the fatal blow was struck from an angle of 17 degrees from the right, which makes it almost certain the person who did it is right-handed.
So what?
Well, Harv's left-handed, Chief. Everybody in town knows that.
Yeah, that's what we figured out, Chief. Harvey's a lefty, uh-huh.
Well, you're pretty sure of yourself, ain't you, Virgil? Virgil, that's a funny name for a nigger boy that comes from Philadelphia. What do they call you up there?
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
Mr. Tibbs? Well, Mr. Wood, take Mr. Tibbs. Take him down to the depot, and I mean boy like now.
I'll have the FBI lab send you the report on this. Not that it'll make any difference.
I'll take that.
Sending it in, personally.
Here today to help us discuss and remember the impact and legacy left behind by Poitier is author Mark Harris, whose book Pictures at a Revolution, Five Movies and the Birth of the New Hollywood. His book looks at Poitier and his career through two pivotal films, In the Heat of the Night and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Mark, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, we want to hear from you. How do you remember Sidney Poitier? What performance or film stands out to you? Perhaps you had a chance to meet Mr. Poitier during his long career. Call in and help us honor Sidney Poitier at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can reach us on Twitter or Instagram at AllOfItWNYC. So we know as a teenager, I think he was about 15 or so, maybe a little bit younger, Poitier moved to Miami and then to New York City. What was his first big stage break?
Well, you know, he struggled. He had a lot of trouble with his accent at the beginning. He talks a lot in later life about how the first thing he had to do before he could do anything on Broadway or on stage was to learn diction, which he says he learned by listening to a white man on the radio. But, you know, by 1946, he was in a production of Lithostrata on Broadway. You know, he was still in his teens then. So it's just staggering to think about the extraordinary length of his career. I mean, Broadway by 1946, you know, just a couple of years after coming to the United States, and then 4 years later, the movies, and really like the movies as a star almost right from the beginning.
I want to play a little bit of a 1980s interview with ABC News with Sidney Poitier on when he first arrived in New York City and what began to draw him to acting. Let's listen to a clip.
Sidney Poitier was raised in the Bahamas. He was poor. He had very little education. At the age of 15, he made his way to New York City to try to make a new life for himself. In this, which is his first network television interview in 12 years, Sidney Poitier told me about his experiences in the big city.
I arrived in New York. I had $3. Okay, I had no friends, no family, no relations, no addresses. I knew no one. I got off at the bus station of 50th Street and 8th Avenue. I'm walking up and down Broadway. I am transfixed by the lights and the traffic and the people. It's incredible, absolutely incredible. So I walked up and down Broadway from 42nd Street to 50th Street, back to 42nd, back to 50th, just marching up and down. In the meantime, I'm buying hot dogs and malted milks.
Such a classic story of someone who comes to the city, wants to make it big. What did people recognize about Sidney Poitier early in terms of his talent?
Well, I think he had this extraordinary presence and poise and stillness. You know, we often think of movie actors as very dynamic, always moving or always talking. But Poitier had this ability to just kind of change the atmosphere around him by his restraint, by his withholding, by his quietness, sometimes by his refusal to respond. And I think that clip that you played from In the Heat of the Night is such an illustration of that, you know, you hear Rod Steiger just boiling over and spilling all over the stove, you know, with rage and, you know, Poitier won't even do anything except once raise his voice when he says, "They call me Mr. Tibbs." And so, of course, it has thunderous impact when he does even that, because he has to keep a lid on everything so much. And that was a skill that I think Sidney Poitier developed in life and on stage and in the movies very early on as a kind of survival mechanism in all three areas.
Let's take a call. Carrie is calling in from Flushing, has pulled over to talk to us. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. Yes, thank you. Hi. Yes, I did pull over. I wanted to share that in 1967, parts of the movie were filmed in my hometown of Sparta, Illinois. Because the racial climate there was not so turbulent as it was in Sparta, Mississippi. So they did a casting call, and my mother and my brother were actually in the whipping boy scene with Poitier.
Wow. What stories do they have? What do they describe it like?
Oh, my goodness. So my mother actually passed away in 1980, so I do not have any, stories from her. However, and my brother was really young. He does have a picture that we have framed of Sidney holding him after the scene was shot. And it's just really our claim to fame.
And I have to tell you, our Cracker Jack staff, you can find that clip on YouTube for anybody who is interested. that's an amazing. Thank you for sharing that story. Let's talk to George calling in from Hackettstown, New Jersey. Hi, George. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How are you doing? Thank you for having my call. I just wanted to say that a film I found incredibly inspiring with Sidney Poitier in To Sir with Love and his portrayal of Mark Thackeray inspired me to become a teacher. And every year I watch the film just to remind myself why I do it.
What a lovely sentiment. Thank you so much for calling in. My guest is Mark Harris, author of Pictures at a Revolution, 5 Movies and the Birth of New Hollywood. We are remembering Sidney Poitier. You know, it's obvious that he came about in such an incredible time. When you look at the dates on these films, No Way Out in the 50s, Blackboard Jungle in 55, you've got other films, Defiant Ones in 58. We're talking like within years of Brown versus Board of Education, right, from the Supreme Court. And you're talking school desegregation, and it was still being implemented. Certain states were trying to circumvent it. Were the roles he being offered which definitely centered around race, many of them. Were those his choice, or was that all he was offered? What do we know about that?
It wasn't. They weren't, by the 1960s, by the mid-1960s, when he was really a star and had won an Academy Award for Best Actor, they weren't the only roles he was offered. He was offered enough so that he turned down some things. He turned down playing an African king in Dr. Dolittle the same year that he made In the Heat of the Night and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner and To Sir with Love. That was all in one year. And another thing is he turned down villains. He said that while he was the only top-tier Black movie star, he didn't feel that the culture would allow him to play villains. He thought it was bad for the cause. And so, you know, he was offered the chance to play Othello, and he said no to that. So, yeah, I mean, it's so hard to remind ourselves now that all of these issues were just at an absolute flashpoint when he was making these choices. And as your first caller said, you know, most of In the Heat of the Night, which is supposed to be set in a small town in the Deep South, was played in was filmed in Illinois because the production was afraid that it would be dangerous for him to make this movie below the Mason-Dixon line. And in fact, they did shoot in the South for 5 days, but under very stressful conditions, where Sidney Poitier was in a motel and said he was sleeping with a gun under his pillow and was going to shoot the first guy who came through the door. So he worked under unimaginably difficult circumstances a lot of the time.
You know, I was going to play his Oscar acceptance speech, but I feel like we've heard that a lot. So I actually want to ask Juliana to pull up another clip. It's a clip of when Denzel Washington won his Academy Award for Best Actor. And I believe Sidney Poitier was given a Lifetime Achievement Award that same night.
Right.
Let's listen to a little bit of that speech and we can talk about it on the other side.
Two birds with one night, huh? Oh, God is good. God is great. God is great. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you all. 40 years I've been chasing Sidney. They finally give it to me. What do? They give it to him the same night. I'll always be chasing you, Sidney. I'll always be following in your footsteps. There's nothing I would rather do, sir. Nothing I would rather do. God bless you. God bless you. Bye.
What do young African-American actors owe Sidney Poitier today?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I think you can't have a much bigger legacy than to say that there are several generations of Black actors who may not even know what they owe him. I mean, his impact was that great. There had to be, you know, a first one, or as he so often referred to himself, the only one, because that's what he was for really 15 years. You know, by the beginning of 1968, for the first time, Sidney Poitier was named the number one box office draw in the country. And that was a moment when movie studios suddenly realized, incredibly belatedly, for the first time, that the African-American audience was huge in the United States. And so within a few years, you started seeing more Black movie stars. You started seeing Richard Roundtree in Shaft and Richard Pryor rise from nowhere to become, you know, a huge comedy star. And there's this sort of tragic feeling that almost at the moment that Sidney Poitier became this top star, a new generation of people started to sort of dismiss him as being behind the times and too accommodationist and too cautious in his role choices and a kind of relic of an era that they wanted to see end. And so all these other stars started coming through. But it really couldn't have happened without Sidney Poitier and the work he did. So, you know, if you try to trace a line from this very dark and painful era in movie history to now, when obviously there's still a long way to go, but black actors live in a world of roles and choices that he could not have imagined. It's really moving to me that he lived long enough to see that happen. And then that beautiful clip you played, which if you watch it on YouTube, ends with them physically saluting each other with their Academy Awards. Poitier from a box in the balcony where he was sitting after having been honored, and Denzel Washington from the stage. It's an amazing moment, but it's also a moment where Denzel Washington was only the second black man to win the Best Actor Oscar. And it took 40 years after Sidney Poitier for there even to be a second one. So that's just an amazing measure of how much history he lived through and how much history he made.
He also worked as a director. I remember going to see Uptown Saturday Night. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, he doesn't get quite enough credit for that. We have only about 40 seconds left. If you had to pick one movie he directed for people to watch, what would it be?
I really love Buck and the Preacher, but I think the one you just named, Uptown Saturday Night, which is a movie I remember from my own childhood, is really something to see. And you get to see a kind of different side of him as a film artist. I think it's really worth it.
Mark Harris is author of Pictures at a Revolution, Five Movies, and the Birth of the New Hollywood. Mark, thank you for being with us and helping us remember Sidney Poitier and the great legacy he left behind.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you so much, everyone who called in and tweeted. And that is all of it for today. I'm Allison Stewart. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate you. I will meet you back here next time.